Then Adam said, Hashem, please, let me ask you one more. What about if there's 10? If you're going to find 10 tzaddikim, are you going to destroy the place? Hashem said, okay, if I find 10, not. Now, Avram did not ask for 9, because he knew that for sure Hashem would destroy it for 9. He stopped at 10. Because by the Mabul, when Hashem destroyed the whole world, how many tzaddikim were there? In the Teva, there were 8. And then if you want to count Hashem together with the people in the Teva, 8 plus 1 is what? 9. And for 9, there were 9 tzaddikim in the world. Did Hashem destroy the world? He still did, yes, because he brought the Mabul. 9 tzaddikim didn't keep away the Mabul. So Avram said, for sure, if there's only 9 tzaddikim in Stoim, if Hashem destroyed the world for 9 tzaddikim, he'll also destroy one little place for 9 tzaddikim. So 9 tzaddikim is not going to help. But for 10, he tried. And then Avram left. Of course, Hashem left and Avram left. And the whole time Hashem knew there was not even one tzaddik. There was not even one tzaddik. But the whole day he let Avram try to save the place. Now, the question is, if Hashem knew there's not even one tzaddik over there, why did he let Avram go on talking 50 and 45 and 40 and 30? Hashem could have said right away, Avram, save your breath. What are you going to argue over here? There's not even one tzaddik over there. But he let Avram the whole day go on and on. One of the things we learn out is that when a person is talking, you should not interrupt them. Sometimes your mommy is talking and you want to tell her something. Should you go and interrupt her, or you let her finish talking? Or Tati is talking to someone and you want to tell him something? Should you go and interrupt Tati, or let him finish talking and wait and then you talk? That's right. Now, if Hashem waited for Avram, you can certainly wait, because you're not bigger than Hashem. Nobody is bigger than Hashem. If Hashem waited for Avram, you for sure could wait also for somebody to finish talking. But of course it shows Avram's big Avos Yisrael and love for other people, that he wants everyone to be alive and to be safe, and nothing has shown to happen to anybody, and it shouldn't be unfair. In the evening, the Malachim got to Stoim, because they gave Avram time the whole day to ask Hashem to save the place. The two Malachim came to Stoim, and Lot was sitting in the gate, because in the gate sat the judges. And Lot had become a judge in Stoim. Why do they sit in the gate? Because if somebody comes into the city, they come through the gate. And if they have an argument, instead of going in the city and arguing and making a fight, they should solve it, and they should take care of the fight before they get into the city. And when they go in the gate, they go over to the judges, and they say they had on the way to the city, they had a fight, an argument, and the judge would take care of it, and they go into the city smiling and friends. Or if somebody is leaving the city, and they're upset they have some kind of a fight, before they leave, they should take care of the argument. So they stop by the gate on the way out, and they take care of the argument. And Lot was sitting in the gate of Stoim. And all of a sudden, Lot sees 2 people coming. He did not know they're Malachim, he thought they're people. And Lot looked around, there was nobody there, and all of a sudden, Lot got the feeling that he wants to have these 2 people to be his guests. Now why would Lot want guests if he's in Stoim, and he's a judge in Stoim? Because even though Lot was certainly not a tzaddik, and he was certainly acting a lot like the people of Stoim, but since he used to live together with Avraham, and he used to have many times the mitzvah of Hakhnasas Orachim, because Avraham always had Orachim, So a little bit he still had the feeling that he would like to have guests in his house. Maybe not for the mitzvah so much, but it made him feel good, you know. I have people, I can take care of them, I can talk to them, make them feel good. It's pashut, a thing that a person could have a tainig, a geschmack, to help people, to do a toivah to somebody. And so late came over to the two men, and he says, please, come to my house and be my guests. I want to have you guests in my house. And the two malachim said to Light, forget it. We know where we are. We know we're in Stein. We're not going to go to your house. We don't want to get you in any trouble. We'll sleep in the street. Now, there used to be a hotel in Stein. This is also a terrible story. But since the Torah says it, I'm going to have to tell you. Why can't they go to a hotel? Why do they have to sleep in the street? Because there was one hotel in Stein. But this is the way they treat you in the hotel. A tall man goes into the hotel and he says, I want to sleep, I want a bed. Okay, we'll give you room 22. He goes to room 22 over there and he sees there's a very short bed. He's very tall, and the bed is very short, so when he lies down in the bed, his head is sticking out one end, and his feet are sticking out the other end. So he calls the hotel man, and he says, excuse me, but you gave me a very little bed. Maybe you can give me a different room that has a bigger bed. And the hotel man says, don't worry, I'll call my worker man, and we'll fix your bed up, we'll fix everything, and you'll be able to fit. Well, these men come into the room, and they look at the man and they say, lie down on your bed and we'll make everything fit. He lies down on the bed and his head is sticking out and his feet are sticking out, so they chop off the head and they chop off the feet and they make him fit the bed. Now, is this the way to treat a person staying at a hotel? This is what they did in Stein. Now, what else did they do in the hotel? A short man comes in the hotel, a little man. Could I please have a room and a bed? I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. Okay, room 46. He goes to room 46, and over there is a gigantic long bed. The longest bed he ever saw, and he's a little man. He says to the hotel man, excuse me, there's a very long bed over there. I don't need such a long bed. Maybe save that long bed for a tall man. Give me a shorter bed. I don't want to have to take up a bed that somebody else could sleep in. And the hotel man says, no, you stay in that bed. We're going to fix everything. We'll make everything fit. I'll call my worker man and they'll take care. And the worker men come in. They say, lie down on the bed. And one of them grabs his feet and one of them grabs his arms. And they stretch him and they stretch him like a rubber band until he's filling the whole bed. And you can imagine it wasn't too comfortable to do that. This is the way they treat the people that come to stay in Stein. So the two malachim, the two people, the two orchim that came to Stein, they didn't want to stay in the hotel, they want to sleep in the street. But Light begged them, please come to my house, please come to my house, please, please come to my house. And finally they said, okay, we'll go to your house, we hope you don't get in trouble. And Light had a secret door behind some trees, and over there they pretended they're just going like into trees and into a field where there are trees, but really over there was a secret door, and they went into Lloyd's house and nobody saw them go in the house. They came in the house and Lloyd's wife all of a sudden sees two strange men in the house and she screams, who are these men that you brought in the house? And Lloyd says, shh, Orchim, two Orchim. No! Get him out of here! I don't want no Orchim in the house! We're not allowed to have Orchim, and besides, I don't want Orchim! It means I have to cook for them, and I have to serve them, and it means I have to make beds for them, and I have to prepare for them and take care of them. Get him out of here! I don't want Orchim in my house! It's too much bother, and besides, we're not even allowed. Light says, listen. I'm the boss over here in the family and I decided we're going to have some orachim. And she says, his wife says, okay, you know what? you are going to take your Orachim into that side of the room, under that beam from the ceiling, and over there is going to be your part of the house, and I'm going to stay on this part of the room, under this beam, and this is going to be my part of the house, and we're going to put a mechitza in the middle to separate between your part and my part. So if anybody comes in and they find out, I'm going to say, look, this is his house, that's my house, and he has the Orachim and not me, so I don't want to get in trouble for it. Wife says, look, just first, I want to get them some food. Please put some salt on the table. Just so they could have some salt. When they start eating, they should be able to have some salt for their food. And she starts to scream, salt! You want me to go to the kitchen and put out salt? I don't want to give them anything. Not even salt. How much does salt cost? A few pennies. And they were very, very rich. And she starts screaming, I'm not going to put salt on the table for no one. Well, he says, look, just put some salt. And she goes to the kitchen and she opens up the cupboard. And she looks around. Ha ha, we don't have no salt here, we're out of salt. So I can't put any on the table, because we don't have any. We don't have salt, so I don't have to put anybody any salt. And Lait says to his wife, look, just go to the neighbor and borrow some salt. After all, they're not going to eat food without salt. Go to the neighbor, but don't tell her what's going on in our house. Because if you tell the neighbor what's going on in our house, then I'm going to get in trouble. And you'll probably also get in trouble. So go to the neighbor, borrow some salt, but no matter what she says, don't tell her what's going on. It's a secret. You understand? And Lloyd's wife says, okay, I'll go borrow salt from the neighbor. Don't worry, I promise. I'm not going to tell anyone what's going on in the house. And Lloyd's wife now went to the neighbors to borrow salt. She wasn't supposed to tell anything. It was a secret, because they can get in big trouble. And Lloyd's wife goes over to the neighbor's house and knocks on the door. Who's there? It's me, your neighbor. Oh, come in. What's going on? What's new? Huh? Tell me, how's everything? Oh, it's so nice you came to my house. Okay, well, what's doing? Well, I would just like to borrow some salt, if you don't mind. Oh, salt, of course. You cooking something? Something good? Yeah, you have something in your house you need salt for? You making some popcorn? Are you cooking some kind of good thing? Huh? Well, you know, I just have to borrow some salt. You know, it's not important why. Because I just need salt. You know, sometimes a person needs salt. So I just like to borrow some. My husband Lloyd asked me I should come over here to borrow salt. Oh, your husband asked you to borrow salt. Oh, I understand. I guess your husband wants the salt, huh? So why you need salt? Well, I mean, you know, he needs salt. I don't have to tell you why. Oh, you mean it's like a secret or something? And Lloyd's wife says to the neighbor, well, I tell you it's a secret because my husband said I should keep it a secret. I shouldn't tell anybody because it's a secret. Oh, a secret. Aha. Listen, I'm your neighbor. You could tell me the secret. It's fun. Come on. Tell me the secret. If you only know the secret by yourself, it's not so much fun. But if you tell me the secret, then it's fun. Then you could tell me the secret, then I'll know it too. And we'll both know the secret. Lloyd's wife says, yeah, but my husband made me promise that I wouldn't tell anybody. Ah, come on, I'm your neighbor. You could tell me. Ah, I wouldn't tell anyone. I promise. I promise 100 times. I promise to all the Getchkes. I promise to all the Getchkes. I will never tell your secret. Come on. I'm your friend. I'm your neighbor. You could tell me the secret. I wouldn't tell anyone. Just you and me. I promise to all the Getchkes. And Lloyd's wife says, okay, you promise, right? Okay, I'll tell you. But remember, if you tell anyone, we can get in trouble. So you promised. Yeah, I promised to all the Getchkes at one time. 100 times, I promise, I promise, I promise. What's the secret? And Lloyd's wife says, in our house, right now, we have two orachim, two guests. And we need the salt to give them food. And all of a sudden, the neighbor screams, orachim, you have in your house, orachim, you have guests in your house. Oh, I'm going to tell my husband, George, George. And Lloyd's wife says, wait a minute, you promised not to tell anybody. You promised 100 times. You promised all the Getchkas in the world you wouldn't tell, and now you're going to tell? I promised. Oh, come on. You have orachim in your house. I'm going to tell my husband, George, that you have orachim in your house, and he's going to tell everyone. Forget promising. You have orachim in your house. Forget it. I'm going to tell. So much was her promise to all the Getchkas. And the neighbor runs into the other room. George! George! Next door in Lloyd's house! To orachim! And George says, orachim! Guests in the house! Oh! They're in big trouble now! And George goes out of the house into the street, and he starts screaming to all the neighbors, orachim in Lloyd's house! Oh, let's get him, come on, let's go to Lloyd's house. He's got guests in his house. He's breaking the laws of story. And all of a sudden, neighbors come running out of their houses, and they come to Lloyd's house, and they're carrying big sticks and knives and swords. And they're coming around Lloyd's house to punish him for having orachim, and they're screaming and yelling. And kids come, because the kids also were doing these kind of things. And even mommies were waking up the babies to show them, this is the way behave in Stoyim. You have to learn how to be a good Stoyim person, and you have to see how we're going to punish people for having orachim. And they woke up the babies, and they wrap them in the blankets and bring them to the house to watch that they should punish to have orachim. You have to learn when you're a kid, you should not have any orachim, and you shouldn't share anything, and this is the way we behave in Stoyim. And they bring even the little babies in their arms, that they should see what's going to happen. And everyone came. Every single person in Stoyim came. Now, even a person, for some reason, that didn't come, the Torah says, it was just like he was there. You know why? If you see somebody doing a wrong thing, Chas v'Shalom, and you know it's wrong, and if you don't try to stop them, and you let them go and do it, and you could have stopped them, it's just like you're also doing the same thing. So even if somebody might have been in a home in his house, Hashem gave them the same, just like they had come, because they didn't try to stop anybody from coming. And they're all around screaming and yelling, hey, come on, Lloyd! Come out and give us your orachim, and we're going to get them, and we're going to get you. Oh boy, look what you're doing. And who do you think you are? You're a judge in Stoyim? And here you're going with breaking the rules. Aha, you came from another place this time, and look who you are. You're the one who's breaking the laws of Stoyim, and you're a judge. Oh boy, you're a real baloney man, aren't you? And outside was a big, big, gigantic crowd. And Lloyd didn't know what's going on. Uh-oh, what are we going to do now? And Lloyd's wife says, now we're in big trouble. You see what you got us in a big trouble. And all of a sudden, the two malachim, the two orachim started to speak. Okay, Lloyd, and your wife, we're going to tell you who we really are. We have come to destroy Stoyim. And we've also come to save you. Malach Gavriel is going to destroy Stoyim, and Malach Raphael is going to save them. Each one has a shlichus. And actually, I'll tell you more of this story later. At first they said, we are going to destroy Stoyim. And Hashem got very upset at them for saying that. And later on they said, Hashem sent us to destroy Stoyim. And you'll see later on what is the story from that. Because the Hashem got upset and they got punished for that. Anyway, you'll see later on, maybe in a different parasha, a whole story from that. Now, they ask Lot and his wife, they say, we see in your house you have two daughters over here. Now, do you have any other children living in Stein? Or any other family? Because at a certain time on the clock, Stein is going to be destroyed in all the cities around Stein. But you have been chosen by Hashem, since you are Avram's family, and Avram is a big tzaddik, a halik tzaddik, Hashem is going to save you and your family from the destruction. Now, at first they didn't want to believe such a thing was going to happen. But they saw that these two Orchim are very, very serious, and they saw something is doing. And so they said, Lot and his wife said, well, we have two daughters, they're married, but they live a few blocks away. They're our family. And the two Malachim said, okay, you've only got a short time, run and get them, and tell them that they are going to have a chance to be saved from the destruction of Stoim, but they have to come right now. And we all have to run away very quickly from Stoim. Because if we're going to stay around here too long, it's going to be too late, and everyone will be finished. Lot said, how are we going to get out of here? If we run out, the people will kill us. And the two Malachim said, don't worry. You just go, and we'll take care of the rest. They opened the door. Lot went outside. And he had a conversation with the people outside a little bit, which I'm not going to go into all the details over there. And the people got angry at Lot, and they started to run up into the house. And they're going to break down the door, because he closed the door behind them, and they're going to come in and kill everybody. And all of a sudden, just as everybody is storming the door, the Malachim said some very secret halakha words that Hashem taught them, certain special words that Hashem teaches his halakha Malachim and some tzaddikim. And all of a sudden, the people got blind. Everyone outside became blind from the words of the two Malachim. And because they could not see where they were going, instead of banging into the house and banging down the door, they started banging into each other and banging their heads together. And they started wandering around and clapping the cap and falling here and falling there and banging their noses. And they couldn't find the door and they couldn't find the house. All they could do was bang into each other. And while all of this confusion is going on, Lot went to run to get his two daughters, who lived a few blocks away. Apparently they had not come to the house, their own father's house. And they were in their houses. And Lot runs over to them, and he goes into the house. And his daughters had married men from Stoim. And they're sitting in their house. And Lot says, daughters, my sons-in-law, come run. We have to run out of here. Stoim is going to be destroyed. Everybody's going to die. But we have a chance to run away. Hashem sent two Malachim because we're Avram's family. And he's a tzaddik. And we're his family. And we can save our life if we run away right now. Because in a few minutes, Stoim is going to be destroyed. And he looked at their faces. And the two sons-in-law from Stoim are laughing. Hey, look at Lot. Look what he's saying. Is this guy a joke or something? What are you doing? You had a dream? You had a funny dream or something? You're thinking Stoim will be destroyed? Nothing's going to happen here. I think you're dreaming about something. Ah, it's a big joke. No, it's true. It's true. Come on, run away. And everybody started laughing at him. They thought it was a big joke. They didn't believe him. They didn't think anything was going to happen. And Lot saw that he cannot convince them. He cannot talk them into coming with him. And he ran back home to save the rest of his family. And the Malachim said, okay, you only have a few minutes. Pack a few things, and we have to get out of here quickly. We have to escape. Okay, let's go. We'll pack a few things. Lot's wife takes a big suitcase, and she goes into her closet, and she starts taking dresses, and she starts taking shoes, and sweaters, and coats, and jewelry, and she starts packing up her stuff, all kinds of things from all over the house, and the tchotchkelech over here, and then taking down pictures, and putting over there things from all over the house, until she has this big, gigantic suitcase that weighs 300 pounds, hardly schlep, and Lloyd's going into his closet, taking down suits, and pants, and sweaters, and belts, and fancy clothes, and neckties, and all of his stuff that he got in Stein, and his two daughters are packing up all of their outfits, and all of their things that they wear, and all their makeup, and all their brushes, and all kinds of stuff. And the two Malachim say, you'll never get out alive if you try to schlep all your stuff. Forget about all your stuff. How come we bought it here? We spent so much money in all the stores, and we got such good things. How can we leave it here? Listen, either you choose between your things or your life. You cannot schlep all those big suitcases. We have to run away right now. And the two Malachim grabbed their hands and schlepped them out of the house, and they went running. And they say, we have to get far away from the cities, all the way to the end of Kikar Yarden. And we have to run away to the mountains, or else you're going to be finished. And Lloyd said, the mountains? Wait a minute. Avram lives in the mountains. I can't go to the mountains. And the Malachim say, wait a minute, the mountains where Avram lives, that's where you should live. Instead of being in Stoim with the Rishayim, and that's why you're almost getting killed together with them, you could be by Avram. And if you learn from Avram, instead of these Rishayim, you're going to live a good life. And you're going to become a good person. Because a person is very much affected by their neighbors. If you live in a place like Stoim with bad neighbors, Chas v'Shalom, you're going to become bad like your neighbors. If you go to a place like the mountains where Avram lives, and Avram is a good person, then you're going to become good. Lot said, oh no. Because when I'm in Stoim, and there are such big Rishoyim, Hashem sees that at least I'm not as bad as them. And so, I'm not going to be punished together with the people of Stoim. But, if I go to Avram, Avram is a big tzaddik. And if Hashem sees me next to Avram, I'm going to look like a real Rasha. It's like you put a little bit of schmutz on a regular table that also has schmutz on it, doesn't show up so much. You put that same little schmutz on a beautiful white tablecloth, you really see it. Oh no, if I go to live in the mountains, I'm going to for sure die. Hashem will get angry at me for everything I do. He'll see what a big Rasha I am next to Avram. No, no, please let me run away to another place. And he chose a city by the end of Kikar HaYarden called Tsoyar. Now Tsoyar was one of the five cities that was supposed to be destroyed. But he begged the Malachim to keep Tsoyar and not to destroy it, because it was not as old as the other cities, so therefore they had a little bit more time that they could do tshuva. And he begged the Malachim to let him run away to that city instead of to the mountains. And since time was running out, they said, okay, we'll let you run to Tsoyar. And they said, run as fast as you can. Keep running until you get there. And don't look back. Don't look behind you. When Stoim is getting destroyed, make sure you do not look and see. And Lot's wife says, but wait a minute, why can't we look? It will be interesting to look and see Stoim getting destroyed. And they said, because really, it's not like you said. Hashem is not saving you because you're tzaddikim compared to the people of Stoim. You also, unfortunately, deserve the same kind of thing they're getting. But because you're the family of Avram, Hashem, in the schus of Avram, is having rachmanis on you too. But since you deserve the same as them, you should not look to see what they're getting and feel maybe a little bit good, look what they're getting and I'm not getting it. You should not look at all at what they're getting. Remember, don't look behind you. Don't look back.